This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Backstage with the Golden Grace. Tales from the stands to the batter's cage. The kind of stories that'll keep you engaged.
Backstage with the Golden Grace. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. Tom and John here, along with a legend, John. We have DJ Jazzy Jeff in the house. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is great. This is a bit, you're in town for the big unveiling of the City Connect jersey.
Yes.
Have you gotten a chance to see what they look like?
Oh, I guess, listen.
You know, they're out there now.
I've seen it. I went to the store and I bought everybody in my family one because I am being hounded. Like, if you don't come back with a jersey, you can't come back.
We had, so we're all the same age. So we, last Friday we had the merchandise unveiling. So I was in there and I got to say, I'm going to be honest, I was a little skeptical at first. You know, I'm old school, traditional. Uh-huh. And so when we all saw that, we kind of, some of us knew what was coming, I guess, right? The leak. And anyway, I'm in there all day, and it kept growing on me. The hat, the jersey, the jacket. Next thing you know, I spent $400.
Yeah,
and that's with a Phillies discount.
Yes. Right? Yes. Listen, I saw it online, and I was like, that is real. The funny thing is I saw it before I actually knew that it was the jersey. And I was like, who makes that Philly jersey? I need to get one of those because I have to represent Philly wherever I go. And then I found out that it was the actual jersey. So I was just like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, the fact that we're using the word Philly, I think, is really jacks some people up. And I just love seeing fans get into it. Because like you said, John, we're kind of traditionalists. I don't like messing with the uniform, the color, red. You know, it's Philly's red.
Yeah.
But to see people get so excited about it is really awesome.
Yeah, this is good.
I asked someone today. So Howard Smith is basically the guy in our staff that basically is running the City Connect. And I said to a couple people today at lunch, I said, who's under more pressure today? You know, I mentioned Bailey Falter, the pitcher for the Pirates, Christopher Sanchez, or Howard Smith. Because Howard Smith, he needs for us to win in those uniforms or else the players might revolt. You know, right?
Because
we're wearing them every Friday. So if we go 0-for-5 next Fridays, then the players will be like, we're not wearing the jerseys.
That has happened. I'm in 1994. They had a blue hat that they wore on day games, and they lost like their first 5 day games, and the players refused to wear the hats.
I kept saying, I was like, I really hope that we win in the jersey unveiling. Like, that would kind of be bad if we didn't.
Right, exactly right. All right, so we mentioned that we're the same age, so you probably went, and you're from Philly, so we went through the same experience watching those late 70s Phillies, right, against the Dodgers, and then you had Black Monday where, you know, the Davey Lopes play and Greg Luzinski and whatever, but frustrating, but all of a sudden we get to 80.
Yeah.
How great was that? Again, we're all teenagers at this time, and we had the Flyers' success, we had the Sixers, right, I guess that year.
Yeah.
How cool is that, though, watching that 80 team?
Listen, that was amazing. That was the first time that I think my mom allowed me to stay out of school and come down. And you know what's funny is at that age, that was almost the intro to your pride of your city and your hometown team.
Yep.
You know, that changed everything for me. You know, I used to, you know, growing up, I was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You know, Eagles were just a hometown team. Pittsburgh Steelers were my favorite team. I have no idea why.
That was probably the Steel Curtain.
Yeah, they were winning. Joe Eagles Green. Weren't back then.
L.C. Greenwood, Terry Bradshaw.
That might have been a reason. But I think, you know, once the Phillies won, I became hometown everything. Everything.
Mm. Did you go to many games when you were a kid, or?
No, I did. I started to go after they won.
Okay, yeah.
You know, that was pretty much, you know, I think you're a natural born sports fan, and then it kicks in and you are a real sports fan.
Yeah, yeah.
John, that was it.
And John mentioned it, you know, around that time all the teams were good.
I was, the Sixers were my favorite team back then. Dr. J, go to all the games, and you know, I don't know if you know, you loved all, we all loved the teams at that point.
Tony and Cheeks, and and you know, it's funny too. We also talk about who the like our favorite players were. I think you always have, for me at least, you got a, you have a superstar player that you're a fan of when you're a kid, and then you have like the unsung guy.
Yeah.
So like, Steve Carlton was my superstar. I love Steve Carlton whenever he pitched, but then my unsung guy was Manny Trio.
Because
I love Manny Trio. He'd get the ball, and then he'd basically wait, right? And then fly it over there real quick.
That's a good one, Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat Manny. Now, you've had the opportunity since to be here at the ballpark, opening day. You've done your thing out on Citizens Bank Way for our playoff games, getting the crowd going. Yeah. What's it like when you're out in front of a crowd like that?
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, like I said, anytime you get a chance to play in your hometown is special. Playing for your hometown team is a super bonus. So, and I've been blessed over the past couple of years for two reasons that we've had success. We've had good teams. You know, I'm still rooting on the Flyers. But, you know, to be able to go to the games and experience the games as an adult and then even play music for the fans is a win-win.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into your career, the music side. So you met Will Smith at a house party.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you were a teenager at that time?
Yep.
Yep. And you guys just decided, but you were more, you've always kind of wanted to be on the studio side, right? And Will was kind of more like the rapper, I guess.
Well, I mean, I was a DJ. He was a rapper,
right?
And we met at a house party that I had another rapper, and of course, this was back when we had no social media, no cell phones,
right?
And I got a last minute call to do a party. I picked up the phone to call the guy who normally goes with me, and he never answered the phone. Yeah. And I just went. And realized that it was next door to Will's house.
Huh.
So it was just kind of like, hey, you know, we knew of each other. And he asked, you know, where's your guy at? And I was like, he didn't answer the phone. He was like, hey, man, you know, mind if I fill in? And I was like, great. And we've been filling in for...
That guy got Wally Pipp.
Yeah, he Wally Pipp.
You know, Wally Pipp was the first base for the Yankees. And I think he got sick, right?
And Lou Gehrig stepped in.
Played 2,100 games in a row.
Yeah. Did you know right away, too, that you and Will connected?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It was... you know, especially in music, there's a chemistry thing that happens when the person knows what you're going to do without you telling them. Mm-hmm. And it was a natural born reaction of Will paying attention to when I put records on and took records off and saying the right thing at the right time. And then it was a reaction that whenever he wanted to rap, I kind of felt where his punchlines were, and I would cut the music off to let him deliver his punchline, you know, with no music, and then bring the music back in. And we kind of looked at each other because it was really kind of like, how did you know to do that? And I'm saying the same thing. Mm. And at the end of the night, we sat outside and we talked for about an hour. And it was kind of like, what are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, hey, I'm doing the YMCA in West Philly. And he was like, I'll be there.
And it's been like that.
Forever.
What I think's really interesting, even before that, like, I love how you just gravitated to wanting to be a DJ, and I love it, you know, reading about your career a little bit, about how it started with block parties.
Yeah.
Like, you go to a Philly block party and see the DJ setting up, and you're like, I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But talk about, like, how big are block parties in Philly in terms of the neighborhoods and you know, when everybody's doing that? I mean, that's a big social event, isn't it?
For some reason, I don't know why I thought everybody had block parties.
Yeah.
And you would talk to some people and you would kind of say, oh man, we would do these block parties, and they're like, what's a block party? And I'm like, what do you mean, what's a block party? That's right. When everybody comes out in the neighborhood and they bring their grills out and somebody plays music. And, you know, on any given Saturday in the summer, it would be 10 block parties in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You only hope to have the one that everyone shows up to.
And then talk about the Fresh Prince. We get into the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah.
So talk about how that occurred.
You know what's funny? When Will and I decided to become a group, I remember us sitting down like very, very early on, and he said, you know what? I want to be an actor. I want to be in movies. And I said, I want to do the music for the movies. movies. Mm. So it was really interesting to just have one of those dream sessions right. before any of this stuff happened. So, you know, that was pretty much a path or a wish list that he always wanted. We had so much success with music, and it was pretty much the birth of MTV and the music video. So the right. music video was his conduit to acting yep. because he got a chance to show off his acting chops in a video.
And everyone remembers those videos. I mean, Summertime. Yeah. And
the parents just don't understand. Yep. And it literally was, we were on tour, and he got a call, and he said, I have to go to L.A. to read for a TV show. And it one ear and out the other. Right. It was a day off. And he flew to L.A., and he came back the next day, and he was like, I think I got a TV show. And, you know, at that point in time, you don't think he's lying, but it's just kind of like, yeah, you're probably talking about a friend with a camcorder. And he went out to film the TV show. And, you know, and he's telling us, you know, I went to Quincy Jones's house, and Quincy Jones is like, wow.
But did he use connections, or he just did this on his own?
It was there was a guy, Benny Medina, who is actually the real life Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that Will met backstage at Arsenio Hall show. Hmm. And he saw the video, and he called Quincy and made this pitch to Quincy. Quincy said, get him out here. And he came. Like, I've never seen this happen like this before. Hmm. That he went, and when he came back, he said, I think I got a TV show. And about 2 months later, he flew out to LA, and I remember we all went to his house, and he put a VCR tape in, and it was a filming of the episode. And I remember looking like, that's a real TV show.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
I know some of those people right, yeah, there. Yeah. And I was like, you got a real TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just spiraled from there. And a week later, he was just like, hey, Jeff, they want you to be on a TV show. Yeah, and I was like, absolutely not. Had no desire. Right. I was solely music.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, what's funny is at that point in time, you know, when you're younger and you have a goal, you don't realize that you can do multiple things.
Right.
So I was under the impression that you're going to stop me from making any kind of music, and this is all you want me to do, instead of I can do this right. and that. And, you know, I said no. And he tricked me. He said, listen, they want you to do 3 episodes. If you do 1 and you love it, you got 2 to look forward to. But if you do 1 and you hate it, you only have 2 to do.
Okay.
And he was like, and you're doing it with me. And I was like, okay.
Sounds reasonable.
And I went out, and it was kind of like 9 episodes later. And then it was the next season and the next season. And
but you enjoyed it, right? I mean, you were out, so you kept going.
I did. I enjoyed it. I still had in the back of my mind, I want to make music. But I really enjoyed the process. It was a lot easier than music. Which I was surprised. Music, I would go in the studio, and I would stay in the studio sometimes 18, 19 hours working on stuff. The television show was like a 9-to-5 job. Like, we got in, and, you know, we did a run through Monday morning at 11 o'clock. The run through was pretty much over at about 12:30, and they were like, you can go home. And I was like, what do you mean you can go home? Like, yeah, yeah, right, I'm yeah. off for the right, day. Right, right. And, you know, and the longest day was the tape day. But I did. I enjoyed it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was actually reading up a lot on you, and I was listening to some things about your career. And I think it's actually fantastic that you have I think we ought to hire you in analytics because you had this way of seeing the future and seeing what the next trend is and getting ahead of it. Mm-hmm. So when you went up, you probably knew that Will's probably going to, you know, that could be his blossoming career.
Yep.
So you went out and got your own studio, right? Touch
yep.
of Jazz.
Yep.
And so you did all that, right? So oftentimes you would basically be going to a record label and giving money to the record label, right? Yeah. You said, why don't I do it myself? Why am I giving that money to the record label?
I am very much so a common sense person. And when someone tells you something and it makes sense, I kind of take it and put it in my pocket.
Right.
And we were working on, I want to say, our second album. From the first album to the second album, some of the guys that worked at the label that were going to studio with us, they saw when I came in for the second album, I came in with all this equipment. And one of the guys said, you are really into this. Like, this isn't something you really want to do this.
Right.
And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. He said, take your recording budget and buy a mixing board or a console and buy a tape machine and record yourself. Mm. He said, you're going in the label studio. Just go in yours and do it yourself.
Right.
And especially if you plan on doing this with other people, this is a great investment, and that's exactly what I did.
Well, and you've became mainstream. There aren't too many DJ. You were one of the first guys to go mainstream. Oh, a DJ is like a celebrity.
Yeah.
So are you surprised? I mean, now, since you, there are DJs out there who are celebrities. Yes. They're but recording.
Yeah, I mean, you were doing that before that.
Yeah,
it exploded.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think your first, if I heard correctly, your first deal was in Manchester, England.
Yes.
Right? And you're like, wait a minute, that arena is going to, is there for me?
Yeah.
Right. Cause it was unheard of that a DJ at that time was selling out that huge arena.
Well, it's,
or maybe not unheard of, but
especially in the United States. And I had a really big DJ friend of mine who used to travel all over the globe, and he was the one that kind of twisted my arm. I think you would enjoy this. And it didn't make sense to me until I decided to go on that first tour and walked in and looked at this place. And it was just like, well, who's playing here?
Right, right.
And he was like, you. And I'm just, you know, and of course I got terrified. and it was a couple of thousand people that showed up. And you're just playing tunes and everybody's having a good time. And I was like, this is amazing.
And that's a music. I mean, I lived in Manchester, England for a year right out of college. And that's a crazy music town.
Yes, it is.
Still is. Now, Jeff, you probably don't know this, but you're talking to two legendary Phillies DJs.
It's true. It's true.
This is why you're like this. So in 1992?
And from 91, 92, and 93. For 3 years, I was the vet DJ. So playing the music, you know, for the crowd, pumping them up.
This is with carts and
carts. I was using carts.
Oh, wow.
Tape cassettes.
Like radio carts.
Yeah.
So then he becomes the fanatic or the best friend of the fanatic. And 94, I come in. And so my boss said, hey, we have a lot of our guys do part-time jobs. We lost the music guy. Can you do music? I'm like, I'm in. So I did it for 3 years.
Oh, I love
and it. One of the funniest things for me, and we got a bunch of stories, but one of the funny thing is I did the All-Star game. So 1996, it was the All-Star game. This is before walk-up music. Players didn't say, here's what I want, play it, right?
Yeah.
So I basically would play what I wanted, right? I'd play, and you do like little sound effects. Again, you have the cards, walk this way, walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah.
Someone walks or, you know, the whatever, all the different We Will Rock You, all this stuff.
Right.
So we had LL Cool J. I don't know if you remember this. LL Cool J performed on the dugout, sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game, right? And
wow.
I was there for the rehearsal, and I'm getting directions from him, this and that. Well, at the end, during the game, he does Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and it looked like he was getting off the stage. And I turned his music down, and I must have turned around. Someone said, hey, John, he's still going. I'm like, what?
Whoops.
He's still going. And he was talking the microphone, but nothing was coming out because I had the volume down.
Oh,
so.
No.
You are no DJ Jazzy Jeff, John. That's what we've come to.
We all have had those moments.
Well, and look, can I tell that this is my favorite of Tom? Is Tug McGraw, right?
Oh.
Obviously, the 1980. He comes into the booth while he's doing the, was it 1992 probably, right?
Yeah, right there. Yep.
And he said, hey, my son is a budding country star. Here's a tape, cassette tape. Can you play one of his songs out in the... He's like, Tug, no problem. And Tug leaves the room. He's like, yeah, right, country star. And he throws the tape into the trash can.
Yeah.
A year later,
we had a bin.
Tim McGraw.
Yeah, I grew up. Yeah. I don't know how to spot talent, DJ. Yeah. I got no talent.
Well, I messed up too because the guy who runs our Florida operations is Justin Timberlake's uncle, John Timberlake. Wow. So way back when in the 90s, he said, "Hey, John, my nephew's in a band, boy band. They're big over in Europe. Can we get him to sing the national anthem?" I'm like, let me see what we can do. And I said, well, can we start him off by doing take him out to the ball game? And then we'll kind of maybe ease into us being a little conservative, right? And next thing you know, they were upset. They wanted to do national anthem. They bought jerseys. They got the whole thing. Well, they sang take me out to the ball game. They were not happy. And since then, they haven't come back because.
Are you serious?
So you don't want us to in the music business is what I'm trying to say.
Well, how about you, Jeff? I know you're a producer. And do you go out and try to scout talent? Or do they come to you? Like, how do you now collaborate with singers and musicians?
You know what's funny? I never scouted talent. Anybody that I've ever worked with came from a recommendation. Because one of the things that I've always felt, if you want to find a good drummer, ask a good bass player.
Hmm.
Because good breeds good.
Right.
So it was literally when you have someone that you expect or you respect their musical taste, then you can ask them, you know, hey, do you know any good singers? And a great keyboardist knows a million great singers. Unless it's their cousin.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that Philadelphia, obviously with Sound of Philadelphia, has such rich history with the OJs and the Stylistics and the Intruders and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes and on and on. What was that? I assume that was your influence growing up?
Yeah, well, it was a mixture of all of that. It was, you know, my dad was an MC for Count Basie. We had a bunch of old jazz records in the house.
Oh, man.
My older brother actually played bass for the Intruders.
Okay.
So I knew about that. But then, you know, you have the Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder, which was all of my sisters. And because I was the youngest. And then my older brothers were into kind of Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, and all the rest of that. So being the youngest, you become the melting pot of all of these things. And this was pre-hip-hop.
Right.
So, and then I gave my brothers all the credit in the world to let a 10-year-old kid use the hi-fi system.
Nice.
You know, and they would teach you how to take the records out the jacket,
don't smudge it.
And you know, it was literally a hi-fi system. It was, you know, it was a receiver with a cassette deck and a graphic equalizer and a turntable. And I'm pretty much 10 years old making Stevie Wonder and Herbie Hancock cassettes.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really get a lot of love from my friends because that was a little different. Well, but that was the beginning of everything.
And the name of your productions company, A Touch of Jazz, John said. And do you still work with other genres? And do you do jazz?
I do everything. Uh-huh. I was actually nominated for a Grammy for a song I did with Bob James this year.
Oh, wow.
So I am pretty much... I don't like to look at music as genres. I feel like there's only two genres of music, good music and bad music. Mm-hmm. So I am somebody that I will listen to anything and make anything.
And we started with the Sound of Philadelphia, but then just think about all the great, you know, in the last 20 years with the music Soul Child, and you have Jill Scott, and you have The Roots, and you have Amos Lee, and you have all these different artists that have come out of this, and you've worked with millions of them.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun because I don't throw darts at a target. I kind of just make what I feel like that day and put it in a pile. And when people come into the studio and they're kind of like, hey, do you have anything? I just play them some of the stuff that I have. And a lot of times people are like, oh, I want that one. I'll take that one. Yeah. I'll take that one.
So. And I guess it changed too, because I guess in the past you used to have to travel, especially if you're going overseas, with a bunch of albums, vinyls, whatever. Yeah. And now it's basically in your computer, right?
That is the part that I absolutely love, because it was, especially international traveling, it's very nerve-wracking hoping that your records make it.
Right.
And I've had a couple of shows that it was kind of like, we're going to hear a whole bunch of reggae tonight because that's the only thing that came down the beltway.
Wait, but you still use turntables though,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Because I saw online the your Phillies turntable. Do you still use that?
Yeah.
Do you
I have that on display in the studio.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You're not using that one as much. Okay.
No, that was one of the times I did the Phillies opener. That it was, I told the guy that I was doing a Phillies opener, and he was like, I'm going to make you some custom Phillies.
That's spectacular.
So, do people, recording artists that went on, like you were almost, again, I talked in the beginning about the pioneer, you guys as a hip hop rapper, actor, and then you see guys like LL Cool J and Ice T and Ice Cube, right? Then, like, do they look at you as the pioneer of that? Of the person that the first one that kind of crossed over?
Well, I think they, more than me, they look at Will that he was the first, because the interesting thing is when Will started, there was a lot of backlash of people because people couldn't really accept you doing more than one thing. So it wasn't like Will wasn't a good actor. It was kind of like, well, you're a rapper. What are you doing acting?
Right. They're pigeonholing him.
And then as soon as he did it, then everybody was kind of like, hey, I want to act. I want to take pictures. I want to shoot videos. I want to, you know. So I do think that he is very much so credited for that.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Your website, too. I was checking it out, DJJazzyJeff.com. Mm-hmm. What's the Creators Union?
So a friend of mine who is very involved in tech, we wanted to kind of do something to help people get involved in the tech aspect of it. And a lot of times it's difficult. Because, you know, they'll make it harder. It's hard to understand. So we wanted to kind of put stuff in layman's terms so people could kind of understand, you know, the new structure of fandom, you know, especially with social media. You know, I grew up being able to go into Tower Records and grab a bunch of records and CDs and cassettes. And now, you know, everything is not, you know, I went from, you know, digital copies to MP3s, which even still you could at least see an MP3 on your phone to now it's all streaming.
Yeah.
So trying to help people navigate, you know, some of the people who have a collection of CDs navigate that, you know, and with the Creators Union, you know, that's pretty much our goal.
Yeah.
You know, what's cool too is Jeff DJ'd at one of the first overseas games in London by the NBA. Mm-hmm. And we're actually Phillies will be playing the Mets on June 8th and 9th in London.
Oh, wow.
In 2 months.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, yeah, so we're both going over there.
And, we got to bring Jeff.
I know. How do they not even think?
Really? That's crazy.
What are you doing June 8th and 9th? I'm going to have to call Major League Baseball.
I am, fortunately and unfortunately, I am on a 56-date tour with New Kids on the Block.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah. Have you ever done that before with them?
You know what's interesting? When New Kids on the Block came out, New Kids on the Block opened up on a tour for Will and I.
Huh.
7 months later, we opened up on a tour for them.
Wow.
So it literally was a situation that I ended up on the phone with Donnie Wahlberg, and he was like, hey, you want to run it back? And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Nice.
So this is going to be
perfect.
A lot of fun.
And what was the big concert you guys were involved in? It was a while back. It was at the Art Museum, and it had all the different genres.
The Live 8?
Oh, yes, Live 8.
Live 8, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I have an interesting story.
Live 8, not Live 8.
Live 8.
Live 8.
Yes.
I was so excited because there was a million people there, and I knew we were going to perform not only Summertime. You're in your hometown, and we're going to perform Summertime, and we're going to perform the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme.
Huh.
And I came on stage with a video camera on a tripod, and I set it on my table because I was like, I am going to get firsthand footage. And I got so excited that I hit the tripod and the camera went straight up in the air, and all I got was the sky. Like, you can hear it. Right. All I got was a video.
Trust me, there are a million people out there.
And I know that, you know, they always say musicians want to be athletes, athletes want to be musicians.
Oh, boy.
So I'm sure you've met, you know, who are some of your favorite athletes that either you watched now or you watched as a kid? Because I'm sure you've had interactions with everybody, especially Sixers, Phillies, Flyers, all that.
Well, you know what's funny? I think one of the coolest things, Will and I opened up the NBA All-Star game. I mean, not the All-Star game. We opened up the championship game. And I know it was the Spurs, and I don't remember who the Spurs were playing, but it was in San Antonio. And we were in the dressing room before, and it was all of these celebrities, and Dr. J came in.
Yes.
And when I tell you, everybody just got quiet.
Yeah.
It was the greatest moment of my life.
Nice.
When Doc walked up and was like, "What up, Jeff?" And I said, "What's up, Doc?" And he gave me a hug, and everybody looked like, "What's up, Jeff? What's up, Doc?" Like, because it was hometown.
Yes, you knew it. So we had him throw out the first pitch in a World Series game 2 years ago, and see, I was taking him all around, and just Doc, Julius Erving, right?
Yeah, he was our hero.
He was like our hero. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I'm hanging all with him, and he said, "John, keep up the good work. You're a good man." And literally, I'm sitting there going like, oh, that's my takeaway that day. But wait, I'm gonna put him on the spot because he's going to hate me for this. But Tom Burgoyne is a huge Sixers fan, right?
Yeah.
So he does zinc. Remember zinc?
Yeah.
So he does a great zinc. So we had a rain delay. I got Dr. J, I got Bernie Parent, and who else do we have? Brandon Graham, all up in a suite.
Schmitty.
And now they're killing time because we haven't set the time when we're going to start the game. So we got like 2 hours to kill. So I'm up there, and he's not doing anything because the Fanatics, you know, taking a nap.
Taking a nap.
So I said, "Tom, get up here. You got to hang with Dr. J. It's your you know, boyhood idol."
Boyhood idol.
So he comes up there, and unfortunately, I put him on the spot because I said, "Hey, Doc," I said, "Tom over here does a great zinc off." And he looks at him. He's like, "Really?" He goes, "Let me hear it." And he does to do the lineup. So now that I built that up, sorry. Sorry, Tom.
I'm not doing the whole lineup.
Right, but just part of the lineup.
I do the 1983.
Give him a little flavor.
Well, I'll just get him. And from the University of Massachusetts, number 676, the Captain Julius Erving.
So he
head coach Billy Cunningham.
There you go.
His assistant Jack McMahon and Matty Kuchar's trainer Al Domenico. That's all I got.
How good is that?
Listen, if you know Billy, that was spot on.
Right.
That was spot on.
John snuck me into a game 2 years ago, and he had me do the we talked to the
contest.
Sixers, and I was in a Zinkoff contest.
Really?
With one other. They picked a fan, and then they picked me as a ringer. And a fan did his thing, and then they got me. And the guy knew right away. He's like, this is, set me up.
Yeah.
But the look on Dr. J's face when he was going through the whole lineup, he was just.
I have pictures of it.
We have video of it.
And video of it.
That was awesome.
I love it. I'm a massive, massive sports fan. And just, you know, being from Philly and meeting a lot of the Philadelphia sports fans, that was first on the list. You know, I remember Charles Barkley's first year. I used to get my audio system in my car done at a place in Upper Darby, Purzan. And I remember Charles was up there getting a system in his truck and met him.
He's the best.
And then, you know, just like I am the fan that I went through, you know, Philly, Sixers, Flyers and Eagles. I went through the bad years. Like, you know, when you're a true fan,
yeah, it makes you.
You just kind of like, yeah, you know.
And when they get good, that makes you feel more.
Oh man,
it's more. It has more impact.
It was amazing. Like even, I knew in my heart of hearts that the Sixers weren't going to beat the Lakers. But the fact that they won that first game was my championship.
Yeah, that's true.
That was my championship.
And how about AI today? They unveiled this statue. I guess a lot of people were saying that like he had a funny look on his face because it looked like a small statue.
What's the pose? Because I know they were wondering, like, is he?
I think he was kind of.
I think he's crossing over, right?
Yeah, and Scott Brandt said, "Well, all the statues out there are that small." But he kind of gave a look like, "Really?" Like, and it was like in Spinal Tap when they saw Stonehenge, and Stonehenge was like this big, right? All right, we ready for the quiz?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's play our theme song first.
And by the way, can't wait to end out. We're taping this on Friday on City Connect Day.
Yes.
And we'd be remiss to say that DJ Jazzy Jeff is performing in Passing Stowe tonight. So can't wait to see it. Awesome. Really looking forward to it.
It's perfect. All right, let's hit our theme music
so
first.
Now I buttered you up. I'm going to give you a tough test here.
Okay.
All right, hit it.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stump you with Brasher's Quiz.
All right, John, go for it.
All right, here we go. All right, so as I said, we have eight questions about your life, multiple choice. You can use Tom as your lifeline. For all of our other celebrities, it hasn't worked out well for them, but you're more than welcome to go to him. All right?
Not gonna be much of
a help. You ready?
I'm ready.
The bar we set is usually 6 out of 8.
Gotta get 6 out of 8.
All right, we'll get, maybe like an autograph fanatic something. Maybe you can get your buddy to autograph something.
Yeah.
Right? If he gets 6 out of 8.
If Fanatic's napping, I'll wake him up. Yeah, he's not going to be happy with that. But all right. If he knows it's for DJ Jazzy Jeff.
So Fanatic usually can't write, but I think we can make an exception for you. All right. You went to Bartram High School, right? Which of these celebrities did not go to Bartram? So I'm going to name 4 people. 3 went to Bartram, 1 did not.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Patti LaBelle, former New York Knick Earl Monroe, Jaleel White, who played Urkel in Family Matters, or Danny Rapp from Danny and the Juniors? One of them.
Jaleel White.
That is correct. You knew that pretty. I was pretty confident in that one.
Yes.
Urkel did not go to Bartram. You learn something new every day.
All right. Here's something that I always want to know, because if someone asked me about you, and I feel like I know you very well, I've known you for a long time, what is Will Smith's middle name? Okay. Multiple choice. Is it Cordozar, Carol, Ramel, or Lamar?
Carol.
Carol. You knew that pretty good? Oh, would you have gotten that if I didn't give this multiple
100%.
Choice? Yeah, see, like...
Have you made fun of him before with a middle name of Carol?
Absolutely.
Okay. Making sure.
Cordozar, by the way, is Snoop's, and Ramel's Dr. Dre, and I don't know who I use for Lamar. All right. In The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Carlton creates a dating video and uses what type of accent on his second try? Do you remember this episode? He creates a dating video and uses what type of accent on his second try? Is it French, Australian, Irish, or Spanish? Can you help out at all?
Wow, you got me with that. Hold on. Let me think.
French, Australian, Irish, or Spanish? What would be the most attractive to females, would you think?
French.
French. You got it right. 3 for 3. All right. In 2005, we mentioned Live 8, not 8, 8. In 2005, you performed the Live 8 concert in Philadelphia in front of the Philadelphia Art Museum. Which band / performer did not perform that day? 3 performed, 1 did not.
Okay.
Toby Keith, Bon Jovi, Stevie Wonder, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Toby Keith, Bon Jovi, Stevie Wonder, Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's thinking right here. What do you think, Tom? Do you know?
Toby Keith.
Do you want to use a lifeline? Use a lifeline.
It's a shot. I'll say Red Hot Chili
Peppers. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember Stevie being there. I was like, wow, I got Stevie playing.
All right, so you're still 4 for 4. All right. This is a Phillies one. Who is the all-time... I guess he should have used your lifeline for this. Who's the all-time doubles leader for the Phillies with 479? Doubles leader all-time.
Doubles.
Bobby Abreu, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, or Richie Ashburn? Bobby Abreu, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Richie Ashburn. You can use them for another lifeline if you want. Grant that to you.
Jeff's got this one.
Doubles. Chase Utley.
What do you
think?
I'd
go Jimmy.
Jimmy Rollins. All right.
He's going to be
back. And that was a guess.
Yeah.
All right. I figured he's got the most hits, so, you know, he's probably got the most doubles.
You can use a lifeline here. It's your other baseball one.
Okay.
What Phillies pitcher has the most wins all time with 241? Steve Carlton, Robin Roberts, Grover Alexander, Cole Hamels.
Steve Carlton.
Steve Carlton is correct.
Nice.
You're on a roll.
You are on a roll.
Lefty.
All right.
Yeah, it's 6 right there. Let's see if you can get some bonus. All 7 and 8.
What year did the Philly Fanatic arrive from the Galapagos Islands? What year did the Philly Fanatic arrive from the Galapagos Islands? Was it 1975, 1981, 1972, or 1978?
I'm going to say, what was the 3?
1975, 1981, 1972, or 1978?
1981.
78. All right. But you got to get this one.
Okay.
All right, ready? How many total times? This was the last. Eric Pesch gave me this one as a last minute question.
All right.
Because I had another baseball, but I figured, how many total times did you get thrown out of the house in The Fresh Prince of Bel Air? How many times? Was it 28, 10, 15, or 21?
That, wow.
28, 10, 15, or 21. How many times did you get thrown out of the house in The Fresh Prince of Bel Air? Tom, I'll let you take a guess, too. You can, since you
said 28.
28, 10, 10, 15, 21.
15?
15 is correct.
15 is correct.
And he gets an autographed item for the Philly Fanatic when he wakes up today.
My back told me that.
Nice. Yeah, that you did you have a pad or something you land on? Or?
Yeah, but I want to say that if it was 15, it probably was 20 takes right. for every 15.
Yeah.
Oh. So, yeah.
So, you have some, you're feeling it today?
No. No, I mean,
not
it,
so much.
You know what's funny? It got to a point. The reason why I had the same shirt on, because they did it so many times one time that I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah. So, then the joke was, okay, we'll just get you right to the brink. And we'll just cut the old footage in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And before we go, too, I just got to say, you know, Philadelphia is just such a, we talked about the artists, but also just a lot of the festivals. We mentioned the Live 8, the Live Aid, and they're still going on. You know, Firefly took place in Delaware. Made in America, right?
The Roots Festival.
I know there's one in Manayunk. Buddy of mine, Dave Hawes, is performing in Manayunk, right in Venice Island.
Oh,
I think that's May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Along with a band called the Jayhawks. So I just love the fact that Philadelphia has all these, of all genres, different festivals. And I hope that, and it's such a great music city with all the different venues.
Yes,
you know, and then Met. And we're going to go see Los Lobos tomorrow night.
In
Collingswood at the Scottish Rite. I've never been there before.
No, it'll be my first Where's time
that
there, too.
It's in Collingswood. It's called the Scottish Rite Auditorium, I think it's called. But World Cafe. And again, I'm the man. I still... love the man. Man's my favorite
Adele,
place.
Adele,
right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's all good.
It is.
DJ Jazzy Jeff, you are the perfect guy for being here tonight. Tonight is all about Philly, unapologetically Philly. We're unveiling the new uniforms, and we're just so pumped that you're here to help celebrate.
Oh, man, I'm happy. I'm happy you guys had me.
Awesome.
Well, appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time on Philly's Backstage.
Backstage with the Golden Blue.